I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Time passes very, very quickly. You will no doubt realize that we have finished 4 months of the year. We are now in the fifth month of the year, the month of May. And soon we will finish half the year and then three quarters of the year, and we will be coming to the end of the year. Now the question that all of us need to ask ourselves is, what have we done for the Lord? So what have we done for the Lord? We must ask ourselves that question, because soon we will hear the midnight cry. The Lord Jesus Christ will return. And then we will be, all those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And then we shall have to appear before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of ourselves. Now the question is, what kind of account would we be giving when the Lord returns? I trust, my dear friends, that all of us here may be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So let us strive. Let us serve with hands that do not hang down, hands that are not weary, but serve with unflagging zeal as we look for the soon return of the Lord. Now, this morning my subject is Jesus, my Lord and my God. Now today, if I were to ask you, who is Jesus to you? What's your answer? Who is Jesus to you? Now if you ask that question of a Muslim, the Muslim will say that Jesus was a prophet, one of many prophets, of whom Muhammad was the chiefest, the biggest prophet. And if you ask that same question of the Hindu will say that Jesus was one of many gods, one of the gods. Now, if you were to ask a believer of the Chinese religion, many of us actually came from that kind of background, the background of believing in the Chinese religion, what would the believer of the Chinese religion say in regards to that question? Now, he will say that Jesus is one of many gods also, but a very powerful God, they will say. But if you ask a Jew, who is Jesus? You know what the answer is? Jesus is not even a prophet to them. Jesus is not even a God to them. As far as they are concerned, Jesus was a blasphemer. Yes, he was a blasphemer and he was a heretic. That's what they would say. And we read in John chapter 5, verse 18. Look at John 5, 18. John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And because Christ made himself equal to God, as far as the Jews were concerned, that was blasphemy. And they wanted to kill him by stoning. And eventually, of course, they crucified him. Yes, they wanted to kill him, and eventually they crucified him. But what is Jesus, or who is Jesus? My dear friends, Jesus is indeed God. That's my first point this morning. He is indeed God. And because he is God, we must honor him. And that's my second point. And because he is God, we must hear him and we must believe in him. That's my third point. So first, Jesus is God. Now, John 1, verse 1, that verse that we considered some time ago, John 1, 1, please look at that verse, John 1, 1, John 1, 1. All right, let's read that verse together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. My dear friends, let's be very, very clear. Jesus is indeed God. And then there was one occasion when he said, "I and my Father are one." Now who can say that but God himself? "I and my Father are one." And then there was a day when his disciple, Philip, came and asked the Lord Jesus Christ and said to him, "Lord, show us the Father." And the Lord replied and said to Philip, "Philip, have I not been so long with you? How come you're still asking me this question? Show us the Father. And the Lord said to Philip, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Philip, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. In other words, I'm God. That's what Jesus was saying. And then you remember there was another occasion. And on this occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ had a great confrontation with the Jews. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in one of his final words, said to them, Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, I am the great I am. The I am that is spoken of in the book of Moses. I am the great I am. I'm the eternal one. I'm the self-existent one. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was in fact telling the Jews that he was and that he is and he will always be in the present. Not in the past. Always in the present. He was, he is, and he will always be in the present. Now, and then in that instance, what did the Jews try to do to him? Of course, the Jews tried to kill him. Yes, the Jews were so offended by him, the Jews wanted to kill him because he said, Before Abraham was I am, and they took up stones and wanted to stone him to death. The claims of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ are not empty. When he said, I am God, indeed he is God. On one occasion, when a man sick of the palsy was brought to him, remember we spoke about this man, I think, last message or two or three messages ago. And this man was brought by his friend. He was a paralytic, brought by his four friends, and because the house that the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering in was very crowded, and so what they did was they carried Jesus up to the rooftop and lowered this sick man down for Jesus to heal. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, looking upon him, said to him, Son, thy sins be forgiven you. How do you suppose the Jews felt when they heard those words? Son, thy sins be forgiven you. The Jews were, of course, very offended. For who could forgive sins except Jesus? And then the Lord Jesus, of course, knew what was in their mind. And he said to them, Yes, which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy? Thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise, take up thy bed and walk. So in order to let you know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I'm going to tell this man, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And Jesus said that to that man, and the man took up his bed and he walked. Thus proving that the Lord Jesus Christ could forgive sins, and therefore he must be God. Yes, he manifested his deity by great signs and wonders when he walked on this earth. He fed the 5,000. Yet he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, created food enough for 5,000 people to eat with 12 baskets of excess. And then he healed the deaf, the lame, the dumb, the blind, the dumb, and then the paralytic. And also he on occasions raised people to life from the dead. And then remember there was what he said when he was on this earth. He said, You destroy this body in 3 days, I will raise it up. Destroy this temple, and I will raise this temple up by my own strength, by my own power. And the Lord Jesus Christ did precisely that. He raised himself up by his own power, thus proving that all that he said must be true. Now, if Jesus didn't rise up from the dead, then you can dismiss all that he said. But he rose up from the dead. Thus proving that all that he said must be true, including his claim that he is God. My dear friends, let's understand this truth. Now, in this instance, in the passage that we read in John chapter 5, the Jews wanted to kill Jesus. Yes, they wanted to kill him because he not only healed this man on the Sabbath day, this man who was sick with this infirmity for 38 years. Remember that? He was sick. He was by the pool of Bethesda, but nobody could bring him into the pool when the angels stirred the pool. So he could never be the first man to be in the pool, and so he was never healed until the Lord Jesus Christ came, and the Lord healed him. And the Lord healed him on the Sabbath day. The Jews were very angry. They wanted to kill him because he did that. Now, and not only that, but because the Lord Jesus made himself equal to God. by saying that God is my Father. And so the Jews were very angry with him. Now, they accused Jesus of breaking the Sabbath. Now, that was actually a very, very ridiculous accusation that Jesus broke the Sabbath. Now, how could he ever break the Sabbath when he is the Lord of the Sabbath? Now, Jesus is the creator of the whole wide universe. And when he created the whole wide universe, he also created time. Did you realize that? He created time, he created space, he created time, which meant that he created day and night. Did he not create day and night? Of course he created day and night. Now, if he created day and night, did he not create Saturday, the Sabbath day? Of course he created the Sabbath day. Now, if Jesus were to destroy the whole universe, entire universe, does he not have the right to do it? Of course he has the right to do it. If he wanted to destroy the Sabbath day, does he not have the right to do it? Of course he has the right to do it. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. But the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to obey the laws to the full. He kept the Sabbath day to set us an example of observing the Sabbath day. It was ridiculous for the Jews to accuse him of breaking the Sabbath. Now, and then what the Lord Jesus Christ did was actually not wrong. It was actually absolutely right. What he did was very much in keeping with the observance of the Sabbath day. He healed this man on the Sabbath day. And the Jews said, "You are wrong. He broke the Sabbath." You know how hypocritical they were. The Lord posed them this question. If your animal, your sheep or your cattle were to fall into the ditch, would you not lift your animal up from the ditch if it falls into the ditch on the Sabbath day? The answer is yes, of course. And the Lord said, you know how to show mercy to your animal. Now on the Sabbath day, I show mercy to this man by healing him. And you say, I've broken the Sabbath. You see how ridiculous that accusation was. The Lord could never ever break the Sabbath because he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He could do anything he wanted to the Sabbath day. He is God. Now, what the Jews could not accept, what the Jews were very, very offended by was the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ made himself equal with God by saying that God was his Father. Now you look at chapter 5, verse 17, to see what further angered the Jews. Look at 5:17. Alright? The Lord says this to them. But Jesus answered the Jews, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father works up till now, and I work. Now these words stirred up the murderous hatred of the Jews. You know what the Lord in essence was saying? My Lord, my God, my Heavenly Father has been working. How many days of the week does the Heavenly Father work? 6 days? 7 days. Every day my Heavenly Father works. Every day and every day. Now the work, the universe has to be sustained, hasn't it? Does the Lord sustain, does the Lord God sustain the universe on the Sabbath day? Of course. Does he send the sunshine and the rain on the Sabbath day? Of course he does. Does he see to it that children are born on the Sabbath day? Of course he does that. He causes seed to germinate. He causes plants to grow. He causes animals to grow. So does he not work on the Sabbath day? The answer is yes. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, likewise, in healing this man on the Sabbath day, I do not break the Sabbath day any more than my Father has. That was what he was saying. That's why the Jews were so mad. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So Jesus in essence was saying, like my Heavenly Father, I work every day. Yes, every day. Healing this man on the Sabbath day. Yes, it's like my Father upholding and working, upholding the universe and working every day. Now what else did the Lord say about his equality with God? Look at verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Now we need to understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ says, the Son can do nothing of himself, right? The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, in verse 19. He was not saying that he was an imitator, that Jesus was just imitating, that he didn't have enough knowledge and God the Father had to teach him so that he would know how to have the knowledge and how to do the things. No, he was not saying that. Yes. Nothing can be further from the truth, my dear friends. The Lord was in fact telling us that he and his heavenly Father are one, two persons, but one God. Whatsoever the Father does, the Son does also. Exactly the same thing. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. The acts of the Son are not his own independent acts, but they are also the acts of the Heavenly Father. In fact, the very acts of the Heavenly Father. The great church father, St. Augustine, says this: our Lord does not say, whatsoever the Father does, the Son does other things like them, but the very same things. The Son doesn't do other things like what the Father does. No, the Son does exactly the same things as the Heavenly Father does. Now, can we understand such a truth? The Father and the Son are one. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. Can we understand this truth? Can you? Impossible. All right. Yes, such things are beyond our human power to understand, to explain clearly and absolutely. Impossible for us to understand. Then you look at verse 20. The Lord says that the Father will show him greater works than these which the Jews will marvel at. Now what are these works? Yes, which the Lord will do that are greater than these works. Works such as healing this man sick with the infirmity for 38 years. The Father will show him greater works. Now what are these works? Now these works are the works of quickening, meaning to say the works of giving life. And they are also the works of judging, which we shall see in the next two verses. All right, these are the works which the Father will show to the Son. Greater works than what the Lord has been doing. Verse 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Son gives life to whomever he will. Verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Indeed, in the Gospels, we have records of the Lord Jesus Christ raising people up from the dead. He has absolute control over the body. He has absolute control over the soul. Now, note what verse 21 says. Look at verse 21. The Son quickeneth whom he will. Now, who can give life to whom he wills? He gives life to whoever he wills. Now, who can do that? Who? Only God can do that. Only God can give life to whomever he wills. And the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, is the giver of life. He gives to whomever he wills. In other words, he must be God. To be able to give life to whomever he wills, he must be God. Then look at verse 22 concerning judgment. All right, concerning judgment. Verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Now let us understand this truth. The judgment here is not human judgment, but the judgment here is the judgment of God, which only God himself is capable of judging. And that's the judgment that is being spoken of here. And God has committed all this judgment to the Son. Not just some judgment, but all judgment. Did you notice the words there? All judgment to the Son. Yes, it is not some judgment, but all judgment. It is not as if the Son handles the easier cases and the Father handles the harder cases. It is not as if the Son is presiding over the lower court and the Father presides over the higher court, the highest court of appeal. No, it's not like that. Friends, it is a case of the Heavenly Father committing all judgments to the Son, the judgments which only God Himself is capable of judging. And all these judgments have been committed to the Son. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus is God. That's why all judgments have been committed unto Him by the Heavenly Father. Now, understand this truth. This judgment is imminent. Today, the Son who died for us on the cross of Calvary has ascended up on high. And He is seated at the right hand of God. Someday soon, He's coming back for us. And when He comes again, one of the things that He's going to do will be to judge the whole world. He's going to come back as a judge. The first time He came as a helpless babe. But this time He's going to come as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He's going to come to judge the whole earth. I'd like us to look at John 5, 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. The Lord says this, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." The time will come, my dear friends, when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And then He will resurrect the dead from the graves. Then those who have done good, meaning to say those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and shown that they have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ by doing good, will be raised from the grave. Unto what? Unto the resurrection of life. They will be raised from the grave. They will put on new bodies like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, all who die in the Lord Jesus Christ will be raised up. They will put on new bodies when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And then they will have to appear before this great, great judgment. Call the judgment before the judgment seat of Christ. I'd like us to turn and look at this judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, but keep your finger at John chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. I read for you this verse. "For we here refers to all those who believe in Jesus Christ and who died and who were buried. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be resurrected unto the resurrection of life, and then we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Remember, we talk about judgment being committed by the Father to the Son. Now, this is the judgment that is spoken of here, friends. "That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." So we shall have to give an account someday. And if we have been faithful to Him, this is what we shall hear from Him. All right, He will tell us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's what He's going to tell us. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And as I said earlier on, and I repeat, only believers shall have the privilege of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And we shall be judged not as condemned sinners, but we shall be judged as servants of the one true living God. Now unbelievers in that time will also be resurrected, but they will be resurrected unto the resurrection of damnation. All right? And we read this damnation in the book of Revelation, and it's something that is very fearful, my dear friends. Unbelievers shall have to appear before the great white throne of God. Please turn to Revelation and verse 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11. All right, but remember, keep your finger at John 5, Revelation 20 and 11. And the I here refers to John, the apostle John. He was in exile on the island of Patmos, and God gave him this vision. And he said, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And this is the judgment before the great white throne of God, and Jesus sits on that throne. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." My dear friends, if you don't appear before the judgment seat of Christ, which means that your names are not written in the book of life, you will appear before the great white throne of God. And you will be found guilty. And having been found guilty, you will be cast into the lake of fire, tormented, and there you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. That's the consequence, my dear friends, of your not putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and not believing that He is the one true living God in whom we must believe. And that we do not believe that, yes, one day He's going to judge the whole world. And He will judge. My dear friends, this morning, if you are not sure which judgment you are going to come before, why don't you turn to the Lord this morning and make very, very sure, 100% sure, that when you are resurrected, you are not going to appear before the great white throne of God, but you are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why don't you make sure this morning? And you can make sure this morning by turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, by repenting from your sins, turning to Him, and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus is God. He has the absolute power to give life, both physical and spiritual life, to whomsoever He pleases, because He's God. And because He's God, God the Father has committed all judgments which only God Himself is capable of judging to Him, because He's God. Now verses 22 and 23, John 5. "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son honoureth not the Father which hath sent Him." My dear friends, if He is indeed the one true living God, if Jesus is God, what must we do with regards to Him? We must honour Him. The Word of God says that all men should honour the Son. We must honour Him. We must not underemphasize Christ. If Jesus and God the Father are one, how can we underemphasize Him? If we underemphasize Christ and say that He is a lesser God than God the Father, then we are actually not worshipping the one true living God. You know actually what we have done? If we have underemphasized Christ and are not worshipping the Christ of the Bible, we are actually worshipping a God of our own imagination. And that's the truth. We are in fact worshipping an idol, a God of our imagination. If we don't honor Christ, friends, we don't honor the Father. If we honor Christ, we honor the Father, because the Father and Son are one. Now, how do we honor Him? Or how should we honor Him? My dear friends, we must honor Him both with our lips as well as with our hearts. The scribes and the Pharisees during the day of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth were very, very good at honoring God with their lips, but not with their hearts. And this was the pronouncement that the Lord Jesus Christ made on them when He quoted from the book of Isaiah. All right, He says this, I read for you, and this is taken from the Gospel of Mark. "He answered and said unto the Jews, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, These people honoureth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. They honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. Now my question to all of us here this morning is, do we honor God with our lips, or do we honor God with our hearts? Now which? I could have told you this before, but some years ago when we were having a meal here in one of the restaurants in Sydney, and then there was this waiter who was a Cantonese-speaking man, and he was a very, very good waiter. And he saw us bowing in prayer before we started our meal. And so he knew that we were Christians. And so he wanted to please us. Every time he brought the food to us, he would say, "Kam Chia Chi, Kam Chia Chi," which means, "Thank the Lord, thank the Lord." He said all those things to please us. "Kam Chia Chi, Kam Chia Chi." Do you think he meant those words from his heart? Of course not. He was not honoring God from his heart. And I think not even honoring God from his lips. He was just saying those words just to please us. But friends, my point is this. How sure that we are doing very much better than this waiter when we come to the Lord's house to worship him on Sunday? Are you sure we do better than the waiter did? Are we really worshipping him with our hearts and not just worshipping him with our lips? Now, as a preacher, I can also worship him with my lips. As a preacher, I can actually easily dishonor the name of the Lord. How? By bringing your attention to me and not to his word and not to Jesus. All right? I can do that. And by so doing, I'll be dishonoring his name, of course. Some years ago in Singapore, there was this preacher who was very fond of giving an introduction to his message. I say introduction, of course, all preachers, when they start their message, would begin with an introduction. Now, as far as this preacher was concerned, his introduction consists of about 7 or 8 minutes of talking about his sufferings. He would talk about his sufferings, he'd talk about his pain, he'd talk about his hard work and so forth. For about 7 to 10 minutes he would do that, and then he would go on to speak for another, say, 25 to 30 minutes. And that's what he did. Now, he was a good speaker. Now, when you first heard him, you would say, "Wow, this man." You feel very sorry for him. If you heard him first time, second time, you feel sorry for him. But after the 5th or 6th times of hearing him, you say, "Is this man talking about Jesus or talking about himself?" It is hard to say that he had the desire to bring honor to the Lord. Really hard after hearing that. Now, you who are sitting in the pews, if you focus your attention on the speaker and not on the word or not on the Lord, my dear friends, you might also become guilty of honoring not the Lord. Yes, you'll be guilty of dishonoring him. You will be guilty of just honoring him with your lips and not with your heart. Let's say you have a great speaker here speaking, and you pay a great deal of attention to that speaker and focus all your attention on him and not on God's word and not on the Lord himself. You are guilty of dishonoring the Lord. There was this lady who went to church because there was this great preacher speaking, and so she went to church and she heard this speaker speak. And then after having heard him, she was very, very blessed by this speaker. And she said, "Next Sunday, I will go and listen to this famous speaker again." The next Sunday, she went to church and listened to this speaker. Then at the conclusion of the worship service, she realized that she had not been blessed as much as she was blessed the first time. And so she went up to the speaker and spoke to the speaker and said, "How come the first time I was blessed, second time I heard you today, I was not blessed?" And the speaker said to her, "In the first meeting, you came and you heard the Lord speaking to you. That's why you were blessed. The second time you came, for what purpose? You came to hear me. That's why you were not blessed. You didn't come to honor the Lord. The first time you came to honor the Lord, you were blessed. The second time you came to hear me, you didn't come to honor the Lord. And so you were not blessed." Now, as you sit here this morning, the Lord knows your heart. Whether you're honoring him with your lips or you're honoring him with your heart, he knows. Now, do you think, do you think our service here is very honoring to the Lord? What do you think? Do we honor him with our lips, or we honor him with our heart? Let me read you this imaginary story. A man went to church with an angel as his guide. I said imaginary story, all right? Don't quote me and say Elder Cole said this, you know. No, a man went to church with an angel as his guide. Every seat in the church was filled, but there was something strange about it all. The organist moved his fingers over the keyboard, but no music came forth from his lips. The choir sang, but not a sound was heard. Then the pastor stepped to the pulpit to read the scriptures, but not a sound was heard. The congregation joined in prayer, but not a single word was heard. The pastor then stepped forward to the pulpit and went through the motion of preaching, but the man with the angel heard nothing. So he turned to the angel and said, "What does this mean? I see that a worship service is in progress, but how come I hear nothing?" And the angel said to him, "You hear nothing because there is nothing to be heard. You are seeing this service just as God sees it. These are not putting their hearts into their service, and so God hears nothing. He hears only that which comes from the heart, and not that which comes from the lips only." And as the angel was speaking back in the last pew, they heard a little child praying this prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The angel said, "You are hearing the only part of the service that is heard by the one true living God. God hears that prayer. This prayer came from the heart of the child, and so the Lord heard it." Friends, let's not give lip service to the Lord. Let's give him heart service. If we come here, just give him lip service on the Lord's day. Our prayer, our service is no service at all. Nothing is going to ascend up to God as a sweet savor from us if we just give him lip service and not heart service. Now the next question is, do we honor the Lord with our heart, not just with our lips, on Sunday and also outside the church? Do we do that outside the church, honoring the Lord with our heart and honoring the Lord with our lips as well, outside the church? No. All seem very well in church on Sunday. Don't you think so? True or not true? All seem very well, right, on Sunday. We all look every bit a believer. I shake hands with you, you shake hands with me, you say, "You are a believer, I'm a believer." Everybody is a believer. And then we use Christian vocabulary. We are very careful with our language, so it's Christian vocabulary. And we put on the most Christian behavior, and we seem to be honoring the Lord. But once we are outside the church, what are we, my dear friends, when we are outside the church? What are we? Can we say that we are as Christian outside the church as we are on Sunday? Can we in the church? Or are we only Sunday Christians? Now, if we are the type that honors the Lord with our lips and not with our hearts on Sunday, it is likely that we will do the same when we are outside the church. Yes, during weekdays. It's just that on Sunday, you know what we try to do? We try very, very hard to conform to what is known as Sunday Christian behavior. So we behave like Christians on Sunday. We try to conform. But then when Sunday is over, when we step out of the church, we show our true colors. Isn't it true? Yes, no. Yes. All right. We act like people in the world. We are just as bad-tempered as people in the world. We swear like people in the world. We lie like they do. We boast like they do. We are as proud as they are. And we are very, very self-centered as people in the world, as worldly as they are. Our friends and our colleagues and even our loved ones, yes, don't tell us in the face, but behind us, you know what they say of us? These people are what? Hypocrites. That's what they say of us. They don't tell us, but behind us, they say that of us. So how should we honor him, friends? We must honor him not only with our lips, but with our hearts. Not only on Sunday, but every day of the week, we must be honoring him. And how else should we honor him? We should honor him with our substance, of course. Yes, if we truly believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is God, then we must honor him with our substance. God gives us this very, very clear instruction. If we really honor Him, we must honor Him with our substance. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of an increase. That's an instruction from the Lord. We must honor Him with our first fruits. In fact, if we don't honor Him with our first fruits, if we don't tithe, we are actually robbing God. And that's what God tells us. We are robbing Him. Malachi 3:10. Alright, 3:8. Let's turn to this passage. Malachi 3:8 and 10. Keep your fingers at John 5, because we are coming back to John 5. Very quickly, please. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Friends, please help our members of the church, please help our friends to refer to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. I read for you. Now, will a man rob God? Now, of course, the answer is no. But God says to the Jews, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? The answer is in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. But let's read on. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. My dear friends, what we are, what we have, our health, our intelligence, our ability, our strength, all come from the Lord. It is He that has given us the power to get wealth. If the Lord were to withdraw one of these graces from us, my dear friends, we will not even have any strength at all to earn our living. If we believe that He has given His all to save us, do we believe that? I say, if we believe that He has given His all to save us, we always say that He gave His all to save us. He gave His all to save us. My dear friends, what is so much about giving one-tenth back to Him? Is it a lot? He's given us His all. Is it too much for us to give one-tenth back to Him? And besides, my dear friends, God is no man's debtor. Yes, when we give, my dear friends, He will bless us. Look at the Malachi 3:10 again. I read for you the verses. Okay, listen to what He says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I'll bless you. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings unto you, that you will have no room to receive it. Now the blessings may not come in terms of material wealth, but the blessings that will come upon you will be spiritual blessings. Peace, joy, all this will be given to you from the Lord. And that's His promise. My dear friends, if He is God, we must honor Him. Not only with our lips, but with our hearts. And we must honor Him with our substance. And if He is God, what else must we do in regards to Him? My dear friends, we must hear Him. We must believe in Him. Look at verses 23 and 24, John 5. John 5, 23 and 24. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. My dear friends, we must hear Him. We must submit ourselves unto Him. We must sit at His feet, humbly to listen to Him, to hear Him, just as Mary of Bethany did in years gone by. Yes, and He tells us about our sins. We must hear Him telling us about our sins, and we must repent from our sins. And when He speaks to us out of His word, we must hear Him speak to us out of His word. And He says, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. If we don't hear His voice and we don't follow Him and we don't hear what He teaches out of us out of His word, then we are not His sheep. But if we hear and follow Him, we are His sheep, we have everlasting life. We will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus is indeed God. For who can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin, and Jesus can forgive sin. And all judgments have been committed unto the Son. All judgments which only the one true living God is capable of. I have been committed to the Son. Which means that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is none other than the one true living God himself. And we must, my dear friends, if we believe that he is truly God, honor him with not only our lips, but with our hearts. When we come into his house to worship him, let us worship him from the heart. Don't just give him lip service, but honor him with our hearts. And not only on Sunday, but every day of the week. Yes, and then we must also honor him with our substance. If we say that we honor the Lord, yes, we want to honor him, but we are very tight with our pocket. My dear friends, we are just honoring him with our lips, but not with our hearts. And then if he's God, then we must hear him. Yes, and if we do not hear him, then we are not his sheep. We will surely come into condemnation. Remember, all judgment has been committed unto him by the Heavenly Father. And one day, my dear friends, we shall have to stand before that judgment. All of us, either of two judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ, which I trust all of us believers will be standing before. And the other one, my dear friends, is the great white throne of God. And the great white throne of God is for sinners to stand before. Now, which of the judgments will you come before on the day of days of judgment? Which one? The judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne? Now, you have to answer that question. If you are not sure which throne or which judgment you are going to stand before, why don't you make sure today? Come, trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins. And then you will be very, very sure that you will be standing before the judgment seat of Christ and not before the great white throne of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness in saving us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Help us, O Lord God, to understand and believe this truth, that Jesus is truly the one true living God. And that, Lord, we must, by your grace, recognize this truth and honor him as such. And Father, we pray that we must honor you by not just giving you lip service, but giving you heart service. And we pray that we may know how to honor you with our substance, that we know how to bring in our first fruits, even our tithes. And Father, this morning we also want to pray that you will help us, that we may believe in you, know that you are the one true living God, and believe in you, and be very, very certain that we are believing in you and that we are hearing your word. We pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who do not know you as Lord and Savior yet. Cause them to hear your voice this morning. Cause them to turn to you and cause them to believe that you are indeed the one true living God, and that for salvation, they need to repent from their sins. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.